This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on a Wednesday afternoon. May is Beef Month, and we'll start off with a story with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. They say that President Biden's proposed new capital gains tax at death would be devastating for cattle producers. NCBA's Daniel Beck says the taxes proposed to pay for massive infrastructure and social spending threaten the viability of family farming and cattle operations, especially a new tax on capital gains at death that ends the stepped-up basis.
That proposal in particular would be devastating for our producers. Discontinuing this benefit, you know, is not only going to create massive tax liabilities for heirs when they ultimately upgrade or transfer these assets or sell the farm, it's also going to have unintended consequences for, I think, some of the constituencies that this administration is really trying to cater to and prioritize, like underserved and new and beginning farmers and ranchers.
Beck is NCBA's Senior Executive Director for Governmental Affairs, and she says the new taxes reach with asset values more than tripling in the last 30 years would be sweeping.
That threshold of $1 million imposing a capital gains tax on any gain over $1 million, that's going to encompass a lot of producers, even if they do qualify as sort of a smaller, very small agricultural operation by USDA standard.
The Department of Agriculture claims most farmers would be exempt if they stay within the family, but Beck says more than one-third of the 900 million U.S. acres in production could change hands in the next 20 years, many sold for other uses. More taxes may only hasten that process. In other beef cattle news, cattle producers are also having to deal with the balancing act with the packers, as each side is working on leveraging supply and demand, according to Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Woodall says it all boils down to cattle markets.
That's on the minds of everybody, especially as we continue to see the high demand. We continue to see the cutout values where they're at, and what we continue to hear as far as the margins that the packers are receiving. And we know that on the producer side, we haven't seen a whole lot of appreciation in price.
Woodall says the age-old question of how to get more of that dollar into producers' pockets is top of mind,
which is why we're spending so much time on our 75% project, knowing that the first quarter we tripped one of our triggers, and looking at the next quarter, we've got to be prepared in case that happens again, because that will drive some additional conversations at our convention in Nashville. But right now, it's all about cattle markets.
The NCBA CEO says they are closely watching the numbers, keeping in mind what cattle producers have said about triggering price transparency thresholds that can swing market leverage to one side or the other.
If you have the supply and somebody else is demanding what you have, then you have the leverage. But the other way around, all of a sudden that leverage changes and you find yourself on the short end of the stick. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And there is a demand for beef, but there's also a lot of cattle out there. And the packers know that there's a lot of cattle out there, so they have the leverage.
Part of the problem lies with reduced packer capacity following the 2013-14 drought that reduced cow herds. Even though the supply is backed up, closed packing plants have not returned, and that is why packers have leverage.
We got down to some of the lowest numbers of a national herd that we had had in 50-plus years, and there was not the supply to feed these packing plants. These are corporate entities, and they made the decision to pull the plug on a lot of those plants. And typically when a plant goes dark, it's rare that the lights ever get turned back on, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Again, that was National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Executive Officer Colin Woodall. Moving on now from cattle news to the latest land news. Land sales activity was flat for the last few years, but that might soon be changing. The lower supply of farms for sale has been one of the factors that supported land values after the 2013 peak in prices paid for ag land. Farmers National Company reports seeing indications for increased land sale activity through to the end of this year. Farmers National Company and its agents have already received an increased number of calls from landowners who are thinking about selling later this year. The company says the main reasons that will drive the current and upcoming sales decisions is that landowners are seeing a large and rapid run-up in land prices to levels last seen in 2013. The other reason that there might be more sales activity this fall is that a market doesn't like uncertainty. Landowners are factoring in both the higher land prices and the uncertainty of future tax policy to make the call whether to sell now or keep their land. Moving on now to Illinois State Ag News, let's go over your latest crop progress and condition report that was released back on Monday, May 3rd. Last week, there were 4.4 days suitable for field work during the week ending Sunday the 2nd. Statewide, the average temperature was 62.8 degrees, about 6 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged just over an inch, about 9 hundredths of an inch above normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 19 very short to short, 69% adequate and 12% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 16 very short to short, 77 adequate and 7% surplus. Corn planting as of Sunday reached 54%, that's a 31% increase over 2 weeks ago. That's compared to the 5-year average of 49%. Corn emerged as of Sunday is at 14% compared to the 5-year average of 13%. Soybeans planted as of Sunday were at 41% compared to the 5-year average of 14%. Soybeans emerged are at 7% compared to the 5-year average of only 1%. Headed winter wheat as of Sunday is at 21% compared to the 5-year average of 28%. And the condition of the winter wheat crop here in Illinois is 6% very poor to poor, 26% fair, 56% good, and 12% excellent. In other crop news from around the state, trend-lined yields for both corn and beans have been steadily increasing at a greater-than-expected pace across Illinois since the drought of 2012. U of I Extension Ag economist Gary Schnittke says the period of good yield may come to an end, but that it will depend on weather and genetics. But for now, yields are just better than average.
We have seen exceptional yields in Illinois since 2012. And that has resulted in our trend yields being going up. And we're expecting for 2021 a trend yield for corn of 195.9 bushels and 60.3 bushels for soybeans.
Schnittke says it is reasonable to obtain the trend line yield levels for 2021, which again are 60.3 bushels per acre for beans and 195.9 bushels per acre for corn here in Illinois. In other news from around the state fair is expected to kick off August 12th in Springfield, but with so much unknown about the state of coronavirus restrictions, will the fair be up and running a year after it was canceled due to COVID-19? Governor Pritzker says he expects the livestock shows, corn dogs, and concerts to be back this summer.
I am very much looking forward to the Illinois State Fair. We've obviously been doing all the planning that's necessary for it. I think that, you know, the IDPH is working with the Department of Agriculture to make sure that people will be safe. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun this summer. It's in August. I hope everybody will come down to Springfield to enjoy it. And then we have a second state fair down in DuQuoin, Illinois, and that also is a lot of fun. And, again, an enormous amount of space out there. I think we'll have a big crowd and everybody will enjoy it.
The DuQuoin State Fair is slated to run August 27th through September 6th. And in the latest ag weather from around the state, a brief warm-up over the last weekend for Illinois was welcome, but cooler temps should dominate the rest of the week and rule the first half of May, according to DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson.
It's going to be fairly long-lived because there is a real strong and widespread trough in the upper atmosphere all the way from northern Canada that runs clear south into central Texas. So it's going to be a feature that we are going to see kind of dominate the temperature pattern over the next week to 10 days and much of the next 14 days, actually. The trends on temperatures are going to be below normal, And that's going to start making an effect in terms of kind of hindering this early crop progress. You know, we've made a lot of planting strides over the last week. I think the national planting increase on corn was a 29 percentage point jump. So that was a very good stretch in terms of planting. But temperatures the next week for sure are going to struggle to get out of the 60s. And along with that, we're going to see some periodic rains, especially during the coming weekend, Mother's Day weekend, and then pretty much all the way through next week with quite a few showers across Illinois occurring every day. And again, we've had a good start to planting from here on, at least through the next week to 10 days. The combination of a little bit of a cooler temperature trend and then rainfall from the weekend through next week will probably slow things up a little bit.
Anderson also says Illinois will be seeing chilly temperatures overnight during this week, but not cold enough for frost or snow-like conditions we saw in mid-April. Now let's move on to local ag news on a Wednesday. The Highland FFA chapter will be holding a plant sale at the high school greenhouse. That's behind the high school there in Highland. It'll be held coming up on Friday from 1:30 till 6 in the afternoon. The Litchfield FFA chapter will also be holding a plant sale at their high school greenhouse. That'll be held on Friday as well from 4 till 6 in the afternoon. They have tomatoes, peppers, cilantro, marigolds, coleus, petunias, impatiens, and geraniums. Four packs for $1.50. Coleus and petunia plants, $2. Hanging baskets are $10. And coming up on Saturday, the American Farm Heritage Museum in Greenville will be holding their Spring Fling Festival. It'll be held at the museum grounds south of Greenville, there at I-70 and Route 127. Again, this Saturday from 8 till 4, rain or shine. They'll have free general admission, a flea market, swap meet. There'll be a barbecue competition. The Armed Forces Museum will be open. The 1800s Hills Fort Replica will be open, along with the American Heritage Railroad with train rides, $3 a person from 10 till 2. More information can be found on Facebook at American Farm Heritage Museum and online at their website, AmericanFarmHeritageMuseum.com. And coming up next week, Wednesday, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their May meeting. It'll be held at the Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro next Wednesday, May 12th, starting at 7. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Wednesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for your Wednesday afternoon, May 5th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.